I'm going to try to repeat this. I am grounded in my power.
I am grounded in my power.
Excellence flows through my veins. I have infinite possibilities. Ready to create extraordinary results. Excellence flows through my veins. I'm grounded in this power.
I'm grounded in his power.
I have the Holy Spirit flowing through me. I know how to serve the Lord. With the abilities he's given me. And the creative flow he's given me. Say, you can't have me. I belong to my Father.
I belong to my Father.
And the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And the blood of Jesus is against you. No weapon formed against me.
The
prosper.
Shall prosper.
Every tongue that rises against me. I condemn. This is my inheritance. As a child of God. I belong to the King. And I'm a child of the Most High. Greater is He that's in me.
Than
He that's in the world.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. My disciples, this is the video about Zoom. God bless you all. And those who are visiting with us for the first time, we welcome you to DCM services. Amen. God bless every last one of you in your household. May the Lord continue to keep blessing. May the Lord just continue to. Lord, have mercy. I just feel the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you just don't talk too much. Sometimes you just rest in Him for a moment. Oftentimes we're so in a rush. Because that's the way life is treating us. Sometimes we got to learn how to rest in the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes when you don't rest, probably it's hard for you to be able to be attentive to the voice of the Lord. And then we make an error. We don't realize it until after we make a decision. It's too late now. So now you got to reroute yourself. Say, where did I go wrong?
Hallelujah.
I love the Lord. It's such a sweet spirit in here.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I thank God for
Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, what a beautiful spirit. Can I just rest up and for a moment?
Yes.
Oh, Lord. Holy Spirit, rest on your people. Thank you for revealing yourself in this. Thank you, Lord. Some of us, we're not used to an experience, but Lord, I'm asking as the head of this house, if you give us an experience in this circuit. I don't know what you want to do, Holy Spirit. I'm going to go flow with you. Whatever you want to move. I know you're a gentleman.
Yeah.
So am I.
Because
you and me.
Yes.
I'd be one to float. That's right. I'd be one to float. Your service. Canvas the service. Speak to us. In Jesus' name. No, I'm going to turn it to the Lord. I'm going to do my best to get it here. I won't have to come a bill there. That's my eyebrows. I want to turn to First Samuel. So I want to just kind of get some of y'all wasn't aware. We went out to canvass the city of Orlando on yesterday. We had about 3 appointments. 2 was at the same time. 1 was at another time. And as you all know, we decided to move to another location come April, first Sunday of April. Our lease is up here March 31st, or March 30th, which is the last Sunday. So we've been aggressively looking. And we were thankful that some things got moved on. Pastor just made an error, and I don't have no problem saying when I made an error. Just hope you don't have a problem with what you say. As an example, we were supposed to sign waivers, and we didn't get a chance to do those waivers at the time. I didn't say it at the time that it was scheduled, so it went in, I guess, within a 7-hour period, but they required 24 hours. So I got a call from the realtor saying he's not responding. I'm not quite sure if we were able to make the time. And no, since the kid actually came from South Carolina to be with us, so walk around and be in prayer, I had to call the intercessor of his house because I knew who she was. And I called the person. She's like, "Oh, no, I'm coming." I said, "Okay, well, expect that, but praise God, we expect it too." So anyhow, I told the people once we got to our 11:30 appointment, I said, "I made a mistake. I said, I doubt we can make that appointment 1:30 because the realtor said that we didn't respond for them." So she called back and said, "Almost answer your prayers. The man is ready to receive them." I said, "God okay." So we get to the last appointment, which was an old real estate agent office, and next to it was almost close to an acre of land. And so I'm asking the people around me, what do y'all think? What do y'all post? I'm looking at land first. And the reason why, because I had a dream back in November, and I told a few of you, God knows who you are, let me go name by name. I said, I had a dream that it was a house first, but it was Fulton County behind me. It was Cobb County, based on what I was seeing in the dream, but behind it, you could tell that you needed to clean up the back. You could tell it was a lot of field, a lot of land. So I was asking First Lady, I said, "Do you think they'll give us permission or permit to build a church here?" Of course, she didn't answer the question in the dream because it wasn't left to her to answer the question. Some things are just not for a person to answer for you because God said, "I'm going to do it myself." In some cases, the answer won't even come from the man of God or the woman because God said, "I'm going to be doing this." So oftentimes we consult with leaders, which we're supposed to. Well, in some cases, God said, "I'm not going to give the answer to them. I'm going to give it to my. I'm gonna give it to you personally." Watch this, because oftentimes we don't know how to stretch out to God. We limit ourselves to the leader when God is the person that leads all of us. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to prepare you guys. If you don't get caught up in that, I don't care who they are. Amen. Because you got to understand that you're your own man. You could be your own worst nightmare. If you limit your faith in man, you want to ensure that God himself is in charge. He puts people in place to lead you, but they don't have everything. So she didn't answer the question. So I posed that it was left up to God. However, now we get to this location, and it almost looks similar to what I dreamed of. So they asking me, "So what is this? What do you think, Pastor?" And I'm looking, and I'm just meditating. I'm focused, you know, everyone else was doing their own thing, but I'm focused, and I'm just kind of meditating on seeing what the Lord is saying to me. You know, I was like, "Well, I told the realtor, go ahead and pursue. Let's see what we can do." So I want y'all to be in prayer about this, almost close to an acre. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we still got to find a location. But what if God want to get some glory and build his own house?
Jesus. Jesus.
Just whatever. Yes. And when I say that, it's because we live in God so often. We always think that we have to go the scenic ground. But I mean, I'm going to clean these toes, Sister Courtney. It cost me a little bit, but I'm going through. Might be, you know, a disadvantage to a degree, but it might be to my advantage on the other side. And so the scenic route takes longer for some people. But when you're on an express line, you go through. Because God says, I'm going to get you there quicker. So certain bridges are built for a reason. Because back in those days before toll, you had to go to scenic route. There was no other choice. But we got options now.
Yes.
God Almighty. I don't know if I'm going to get here. I'm totally flowing down. I mean, I'm at this place now where it's like, whatever God want to do, let's go ahead and do. I've been saying this often and often. Sometimes you don't have all the provisions in your account that you believe in God for. But sometimes he'll take it on the back end. Not that he's removing anything, but he wants to see what your faith is. Are you going to allow me to be God? So Isaiah goes and says, whose report you going to believe?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's from somebody who trusted a doctor. The doctor gives them a negative report. And then you hear that report. It's factual based on the test results. Then when you leave, God says, whose report you going to believe? Man, in other words, I anointed the doctor to do what they do, but you got to understand that I'm anointed to do what I do. Because we hold man and woman to so much esteem for some of us, man. We got to be very careful and mindful that we don't put celebrities as idols. Notice I'm taking my time.
Amen.
Y'all can see what y'all want to do. Y'all want to stand, y'all can do whatever y'all want to do. I'm just walking with the Lord. What you see right now is this is how I was when I started off my relationship.
Amen.
I just pace.
Amen.
Just walk. Get to learn his spirit. Find out who he is. What is he about? Because I didn't learn my relationship through another man. I learned through myself. And for myself. In other words, when he called me, I was at home, not in his wife's church. Lord, I love that. And I heard his voice for the first time at home, not in the church. So what you're looking at is an unusual man of God. Because I do things unusual. In other words, I haven't figured it out, so don't try to figure me out either. I'm still learning in this journey as you were learning. And you want to see me sometimes I shift and I move and I do this way. You may not understand it. Just say, okay, God, whatever you want to do to this man of God, just let me flow. Just let me be in position and receive the anointing when it comes flow, because I want to be in position.
Example.
Hallelujah. Think I can get in here now? Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. All right, let's go here. I'm going to start at verse 15, but I said 16. Let's go to 15. Let me go to verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, the king over his people, over Israel, now therefore hear the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. Listen to these instructions, you all. But kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Hear the instructions? So Saul gathered to the people together and numbered them and telling them, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. We go to verse 8. And he also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. I hope you heard the instruction that was given in verse 2 and 3. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised, worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Let me read verse 9 again. But Saul and the people spared Agag And the best of the sheep. Now I'm going to drop down to verse 10 real quick here. No, let's go to verse 13. And Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Verse 15. And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed." I want to go to verse 22. Well, I want to go to verse 23. Well, I want to go to verse 22. So Samuel said, As the Lord has great delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, than to heed the fat of the rams." Now, verse 23 is so key. "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft." Yes. Here's this now. "And stubbornness is as the iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also have rejected you from being king." I'm gonna let my meeting minister make this time. And so here's the thing about this. This was instruction, a set of instructions in verse 2 and 3, to give King Saul based on the history. There was something that God remembered that the Amalekites did to his people. So watch this now, Brother Junior. You don't have to worry about getting anybody back, because God says, "I'm already going to get them for you." No worries. Whatever devilment they have done secretly against you, whatever demise they try to set up against you, the Lord says, "Revenge is mine," says the Lord. And watch this. It may not have happened last year, but it could have happened in your teenage years. Here's the thing about some things: that we hold on to certain things in our past that we have not let go. And so by not letting it go, you have strategically found a way how you can return and pay back what they've done with you. And the Lord says, "I remember what they've done to you in the past." He let a whole generation go by, and another generation go by, and another generation go by, but he says, "I know what I'm going to do in this generation." So here, watch this, Dr. Ray. He may not get them back for your generation, but he'll let your offspring not suffer what you suffer. In some cases, what happens with us is that we think that God's supposed to take vengeance in our time frame. Mm-hmm. But God says, "No, I'm going to do it in your next generation's time frame." Because we always want the blessing now. God says, "No, don't be selfish. Let me save some towards the end. Let me act retroactive to some of your offspring." And so God told Saul, "Go, Samuel, go and tell Saul, I need you to kill every ox, every sheep, every infant, every woman. I know it's hard. But you got to understand, sis, if you want to cut them, you got to cut them at the roots." Because the infant's neck, but when they get older, they're going to take the instruction from the generation that taught them how to get people. It seems unfair that you would kill an infant because, watch this, they're infants. Why would you kill something so small and so pure? For now, but they won't be pure after a while. When God does kill some things, he always kills it at the roots first to make sure and to ensure it'll ever come back again. There are certain things that God wants to make sure that he kills at the root now. In other words, what I'm saying is that you got to face certain things head on. I said this before, maybe you didn't listen, that's why he's saying it again. Because what you're doing is you're thinking is, it's just a pet demon. You can't hurt me. Let that pet demon grow up. You're going to have a problem. And so God specifically says to Samuel, tell Saul to kill everything, leave nothing behind. What? The instructions was given first. So we have grown up to know and understand that we must sacrifice tithes, offerings. In those days, they did sheep, cattle, lamb, lambs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Saul came up with this brilliant idea. Well, maybe we'll keep the best. Bring the trophy of the head of King Agag to show the people what we've done. But God didn't say that. God says, I'm not looking for no trophy. I'm looking for the crown. Kill everything at its roots. So Saul decided that he was going to do it his own. You got to remember, he's the king. But you got to remember, there's a king above kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of all lords. And that's what happens when a lot of pastors, they get in trouble because they start thinking that they're the king.
Amen.
And then the sheep think that they're the king. There's no God behind the king. So he specifically told them, when we don't realize it, that we got to pay close attention to instructions. We can't do it our own way.
Amen.
In other words, what he says, do not lean to your own understanding, Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6. But trust in the Lord and acknowledge him in all.
Amen.
And he would direct the path.
Amen.
And so King Saul thought it was brilliant to listen to the people, meaning the sheep. Because what happens is when you get in the church, everybody want to work and serve, but they want to get paid. Watch this now. Some things is voluntary to see how long you're going to go through this journey. So these people, they went ahead and fought according to the instructions, and they battled, and they won. But they thought that their reward was going to be the oxen and the sheep. So King Saul was like, well, I'm afraid of the people because they went through all this work. They want their rewards. But God said, kill them all. When God gives a leader instructions, we got to make sure the people understand what God said from the beginning. So we don't go in there, it won't be no disruption. It won't be no division. Kill it all at the root. What I'm trying to tell you, some of you, you got some things right now you got to kill at the root. Because you can't take this to the next level. And if you do, what's going to happen is it's going to grow up with you. And that's going to be a thorn in your side. Yeah, you're blessed, but look what you got to fight.
Yeah.
Certain things is okay for us to fight, but there's certain things that's left for God to do it. We do instructions and obedience. So we call sacrifice better than obedience when obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen. Amen.
So he just decided he was going to come up with this brilliant idea. I'm just going to keep the best, the fat of the land. One of the things he told King Samuel, he told Samuel the prophet, he says, I came to sacrifice for your God. But wait a minute, aren't you the king? What about your God? In other words, you are serving my God because it's my God. That's why some of you are in your grandfather, grandmother's churches, your mother's churches, because it was their church. But God says, I want to establish you to be in my church. A lot of us are serving God based on what our family tree. So King Saul says, well, I'm here to sacrifice for your God, Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
You're the king. Why you didn't acknowledge your own God? He's just as yours as he is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on now. So you can't serve God through other people serving for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so King Saul just decided, well, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and keep the best of the best. Never mind. Now look at this. I want to point this out. Look at verse 9, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let me give you some of y'all time to find it. Well, Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, all that was good, and were, look, unwilling. That's the first one. Let's go to verse 13. Then Samuel went to Saul and said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from Amalekites. The people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to your Lord, your God.
Mm-hmm.
So it went from unwilling to a lie.
Yes.
It was just power. It started off being unwilling. Then it went from a lie.
Yeah.
See, you see the root? A lot of us make excuses and we are trying to dodge. Look, let me tell you something. If you're going to obey the voice of God, you got to do it total, not halfway. Mm. In other words, let me give you a little pick here. If we all going to start a race from here, and the Lord says, go all the way to the finish line. And when you get to the finish line, shout. But instead, this particular person, I'm just using this as an example, you go halfway and turn back to the beginning. You started obeying, but then you didn't complete. In order for you to get the full reward, you got to go all the way through.
Amen.
You can't get to halfway when all of a sudden you get tired and things ain't working out to your good based on what you petitioned God. And so you were asking him, Lord, do you hear me now? The reason why he didn't hear you because you ain't going all the way in. You and I must get to the point that we got to be tunnel vision when the Spirit of the Lord is giving us instructions through a man or a woman of God. If he's telling you, do not bear not one thing in the Amplifiers, kill them all. Everything you breathe, kill it. I'm talking about the root systems, kill it. Whatever addiction you are having, kill it now. Because if you keep pampering, it's going to grow old with you, and it's going to stick down to your next generation. And that's going to happen even harder than what you have it, because you refuse to kill it. See, we playing with it. We playing church. We playing with these pet demons. And that's why you battle on with so many things. Can I be honest with you? Some of the things that you're facing right now is because your grandfather, your grandmother couldn't defeat it.
That's right.
That's why you're having some difficulty for some things now. But the Lord says, I can give you to break this generation of curse so it don't go down to the next generation. Killing at the root. So it'll become a fruit. Even roots grow. It becomes something. And some people would think it's attractive. Others would say, no, it's not. Just because you brought a Lamborghini doesn't mean you're blessed. How did you get it?
Jesus.
How did you get the house that you had? On the backs of who? Man, don't tell me. Don't play around with me. Because ultimately, we think monetary things is a blessing and that we have a lot. But how did you obtain those blessings? Who did you suppress getting? Was your character in place? Did you check humility? No, see, these are the kind of things that we have to be careful. Because as soon as we start getting rewards, we think we are right. So what? You got to increase on your job. So what? What does that determine? No, what's going to happen is that God says, I'm going to expect much more out of you because I promoted you. This is the kind of message that'll make you kind of go, and make you evaluate some things in your life right now. Go home and try to check some of the things that you have a difficulty overcoming. So now you got to go back to your parents and say, are you having this problem? Because obviously they didn't defeat that problem. That's why it ran down to your bloodline. And you still battle with that. So the Lord told your parents they didn't do it right to kill it at the root. But no, what they did was they pampered it. It's okay. It's harmless. I'm getting ready to defeat some demons right now.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I'm coming against this enemy right now. Yes. I am not going to stand and swim in this addiction. Another day in my life.
Hallelujah.
It's over.
Yes, man.
No, see, what happens is we love what's in our headlock. We want to keep it like Buckley. We want to stay. We want to keep it. We want to keep your teddy bears. Your teddy bears killing me. I told him, help kill them all. Kill me, every last one. Do not spare nothing. I don't want anything coming up with the next generation of the Israelites. In other words, DCM, what he about to do with us, there's some things we just got to kill now. Because we can't go over the other side with these things. Because what's going to happen is you'll be anointed, but you'll be anointed struggling with some demons. And nobody going to know it but you. Until after a while, all of a sudden, it's going to be like, well, wait a minute, what happened to the person? No, the person just didn't obey from the beginning. So they're still fighting some addictions they haven't overcame. Yeah, you're anointed. I know you are. God bless you, you are. But there's some stuff in you you got to get rid of quick. It behooves you to do it now. There's a name, there's a candy called Now Later. God, I want my now, because later it may be too late.
Yes.
Much as you all love your children or your children in the future, you need to go ahead and start getting rid of some things right now. Because they're going to look your children in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents didn't do it, so now I'm looking at you and I'm which you go back. So he says to Samuel, Saul, I've done everything the Lord told me. Well, verse 10, verse 9, he's unwilling. Verse 13 is the lie. And the lies just kept piling up, one lie after another, one excuse after another. That man was so stubborn. He said, do you know you operate in witchcraft? See, we don't know what witchcraft really is. We think it's some witches and Halloween. He said, stubbornness is a form of witchcraft. You've got to get delivered, sir, ma'am. If you think you're going to go to the next level with this, wait a minute. The Lord says, I'm going to strip you away if you don't know how to do it. I'm going to strip everything about you. Everything. Everything you think you are, I'm going to strip it if you don't get it. This is a great time to get delivered today. We ain't having strength. We ain't having strength. It is really. Can I read a little bit more? Verse 9. Unwilling. Verse 13, a lie. Verse 15, excuses. Woo! It just kept popping. It just kept happening. It went from unwilling to a lie to excuses. So Saul had to tell him, Samuel had to tell him, shut your mouth. In other words, be quiet. Because everything that's coming out your mouth is a lie. You're either going to tell the truth or plot truths. Because plot truths are still a lie.
Amen.
If you're going to be full-time out of something, then be full-time, be great. But if you're going to be a full-time liar, go ahead and be a full-time liar. But if you're going to be a full-time truth sayer, then be a full-time truth sayer. Verse 15. Your God. Verse 18. Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are what? Consumed. We are focusing on what King Saul in the story. But God says, consume. You consume everything you got. Anything in your household that represents an idol, I said, Jim. Anything in your home that looks like witchcraft, man, I'm going to go over here. You kill it at the root right now. Matter of fact, what I'm trying to tell you, you're going to have to throw everything. You go through your house, canvas your house, anything that looks like that's not God, throw it away. My God, I'm telling you, there's some witchcraft, there's some spirits going in your household, and you ain't going to get delivered until you get rid of it. Oh, yeah, I'm going ahead and fess it up. Y'all ain't gonna like me now. But I'm trying to tell you, there's certain things that you keeping up as trophies that's gonna kill you later, son. Throw it away right now. When you get home, it's time to do a cleanup job. Every little thing that look like it's not God, we trash it. Because people don't know, sometimes idols, man, there's idols and trophies in our house, and we up there, we are dying. Look at that. No, man, that's killing you. It's eating you alive. Slowly. And the sad part about it, you don't know it. Everybody else knows it before you. So much of us, we think we sacrifice because you come to church. I give my tithes, I'm sacrificing. I'm giving my offerings, I'm sacrificing. But the Lord says, yeah, you sacrifice it, but are you obeying my voice? Because verse 23 says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Man, I feel some pushback. And then, watch this. Now, see, this is the other thing. When you get ready to minister soon, and you rough soon, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When you start feeling some pushback, you're going to know it's because people ain't receiving what you're saying.
Amen.
There's going to be people who's not going to receive what you're saying. And you're going to feel grief because you're going to know that they're not just not listening to you. They ain't listening to God in you. And the other prophet, he told Saul, he said, Samuel, don't be mourning. They didn't reject you. They rejected me. And so often we take things personally, sister, and understandably, because we think people are supposed to embrace our love and our attention. And when we give them great advice and sound advice, we think they got it. And then they turn their back on you. Then you'll be thinking, what's going on with this relationship? God says, don't even get caught up in it. They rejected me, not you. Oftentimes, if some of you gonna get a chance to get up in here, as the Lord lead me, I know there's about two the Lord's put in my spirit. I'm just kind of waiting as the Lord instructed me. And I know some of y'all gonna be like, well, Pastor, I should have been going first. No, that's your problem. I'm going based on what the Holy Spirit. And watch this. I'm not picking somebody up there because they ain't giving the most tithes. yeah. Because I don't care about how much you get. I still get up in your face.
Yes. That's cool.
Yes,
come on. And maybe one of y'all get called to do a message or some sort, and you up there and you trying to figure out why the people ain't receiving you. Is that because they ain't receiving him? Yeah. Oh yeah. Because people love to push back when they don't like what you're saying. But I don't care. You gotta have another congruence. You're going to get up here, and you're going to do things what you need to do with based on the calling that God has you. You got to have enough communities to tell people the truth, no matter how they face, how they respond to you. Pastor, you're acting funny. Yeah, you don't want to write laughing funny, because you just disobeyed God. And the Lord just showed me something about you that you don't know I know. See, y'all don't understand. Is that when you are a leader and you know great responsibility, the Lord will reveal to you about your people. Even when the people don't know, you know. It's a scary thing. Give an example. Watch this. There was a particular time the Lord revealed to me that some of y'all was having some conversations. Watch this. And he even told me what you all said. Do I come and tell you? Nah, I just know, and I'm serving. Only way you can get that type of rapport when you're in a relationship, you're in cahoots with God. Yeah, let you know. Folks is talking about you. Now, don't go down there doing that. Don't even argue or say a word. Just be quiet, because revenge is mine. You ain't got to fight your battle, Jay. Leave it alone. Let God handle it. Yeah, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. Let me stand to our feet. Father God, we thank you, Lord God. We can stand. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We adore you. We install your name, God. Yeah, I'm going to call this altar call. And I think that's going to run. But I'm going to make sure we get this thing resolved today.
Amen.
In the name of Christ Jesus. And yeah, based on the message that you heard today, you should be running at this altar.
Yes, sir.
Some of you who's at home, you have an ability to get in this on this too.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to pray with you and pray for you. But you got to really get in this battle with me. Don't just think that I'm just going to fight these battles for you. You got to be, in other words, what I'm saying is don't leave it all to the pastor to fight these battles. You got to become a participant in your own deliverance.
No, man.
Got some people who love their children, but do you really love them? Because if you really, really love them, why are you not defeating them demons that you got going? The stubbornness. You operate in witchcraft, but you serve the Lord, but you operate in witchcraft. And then you want to make excuses. And we're from unwillingness to a lie. Oh, God. This message is fits you. Come to this altar. Y'all remember on Wednesday night, I told some of y'all, I said, you know what? Even some of the leaders, they're afraid to come to the altar and have a position. Don't let your position hold you back. Because there's going to be a lot of pastors, teachers, and doctors in hell. Because they think they're tired of it. Their title is at the back when you receive any title. You might want to stay on the knees a lot more longer than anybody else. This is a real hot. People need to remember.
That's right.
I may have some people right now, they still kind of heavy. I still want to struggle with the deeds. Come on, come on. Get, go ahead and give it. You're going to participate in your own. The altar is open for you right now. Yeah, I need some intercessors. This is the altar time. There's people that want to come because they don't want to. They don't want to be exposed. See, the enemy knows. He want to play games. He don't want to be exposed. Let me tell you about Satan. Let me tell you something. His greatest trick is to make you think he never exists. You know, even though sometimes we come and we serve the Lord and they say, oh, we began once, you be thankful. No, man. No, there's so many more than you can do. And the problem is, it's not going to be our problem. It's going to be a girl problem. But watch this. What's going to happen is they're going to call the pastor. Can you come over here in my house and pray over some things? And I'm going to ask you. I'm like, well, what may be going on in your household? So you got to be very, don't just jump to prayer because they want to ask you for prayer. Find out what the doctor did. They find out. They get your history. Ain't that right? Doctor, they'll ask you your history. What did your parents have? Did they have high blood pressure? Did they have any type of asthma? What's the history? And so that's the thing I'm going to do. Let me find out about your history. Don't run away from the demons. I told you last week, go through. Face it head on. Because you know, and God knows what you do in your private time. Oh, yeah. There's somebody here got a spirit of pornography and they go. Quietly dabbling in pornography. Might be attracted to you, but it's killing. That's what I mean by the pet demons. But there's some demons that look attractive. Some demons you want to get rid of because you don't like them. But I ain't talking about those demons. I'm talking about the ones you really like. Father God, we thank you right there. In the name of Christ Jesus. Participate in your deliverance. Do we not like to be exposed for his death? Take this joke out. God ain't gonna do it. You need the work. You need the sword of the spirit. You need the breastplate of righteousness.
Yeah.
You need the helmet of salvation. You're gonna fight against these wiles of the devil, these principalities. You gotta pull on the whole arm of God.
Yes,
Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes.
If you put on half of that outfit, you can be defeated. You got to put them on. All, every last one. Sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Put all of it on. And all, it says, above all, shield of faith. Because whatever any enemy that's throwing any darts at you, it's your shield that's going to protect.
Hallelujah.
Because he was unwilling. And then he told a lie. And then he made excuses. All that formed up to create witchcraft.
Amen.
And we don't realize stubbornness is witchcraft. Anytime you got any stubbornness about you, it's witchcraft. Just keep that in mind. In other words, if I'm approaching you about something and I'm telling you the truth and you don't want to acknowledge it, you're dabbling in witchcraft. I'm getting delivered.
I'm delivered.
I'm delivered. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. We made these proclamations in the beginning. You are rich and proclaim. I'm delivered. I'm grounded in my heart.
Amen.
I'm grounded in the Holy Spirit power.
Yes,
I'm delivered.
Amen.
I'm delivered.
Amen.
I'm delivered. Thank you, God, to give me the power to overcome the demons that my parents, my generation of suffering. It's my turn today.
Yes, sir.
Today is my day.
Amen.
I'm getting delivered. I'm tired of these attacks. Because your parents are unwilling, you just be willing. Because your parents want to tell a lie and make excuses. No, you make the right choice. I'm not going to have my children deal with these demons. Why do you think some of these kids got out there acting up? Because their parents didn't overcome some stuff.
Right.
You're wondering why the world is in chaos. We looking at the fruit. God said it's in the root systems. It's in the bloodline. But when you take on the blood of Jesus, now you got a new line. Because what happens is when you accept Christ as personal Savior, and you take on his blood, now you got a new blood going through your veins.
Amen.
I got the blood of Jesus flowing through my veins. I'm exercising my right as a child of God.
Thank you for the
journey.
Yes, Lord.
Set him free.
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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Everything he came from. Break the curse.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Break the generational.
Yes.
Break the generational stubbornness.
Yes.
Break it. Oh, Bob. Break it. Break it. Break it. No, you have to participate. Because
yes,
you're holding on to some stuff still. Break
yeah.
it, man. Break it.
Yeah.
Break it. Break it. Break it. You're holding on. You're holding on to some stuff. Break it. Release it.
Yes, Father.
Release it.
Yes,
release it.
Yes, Father.
Release it. I'm not releasing. I'm relinquishing this.
Thank you.
Release it.
Release it.
It's my time. I'm a new man and a new woman in Christ Jesus. And old things pass away. And behold, all things become delivered. And I'm set free.
Thank you.
I'm delivered. And I'm set
free.
I would not walk in this box for another day in my life. That stubborn demon is under my feet. Which trap is behind me? Why from I'm delivered right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, my shata rabba. I'm delivered.
I'm
ready to be used by God.
Yes.
Yes.
No longer Satan's dance pop.
Yes.
I'm delivered. Oh, I ain't coming all the way here not to get delivered. I'm coming to get delivered. I'm coming to be delivered. I'm coming to be delivered.
Yes,
I don't want to dance with the devil no more.
Even the devil know how to wear Prada.
Oh, yeah.
It's expensive. Looks good. Looks attractive. But I'm coming for my delivery. I'm coming for my delivery. I'm coming for my grace. I'm coming. In the name of Jesus. I'm coming right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, you're not going to take me. You're not going to take me. No. I'm coming. My children is free. My household is free. These items are going to be thrown away.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. These items are going to be thrown away. Hallelujah. Yeah. Throw your items away. I'm going to take you over at home. Throw your items away. That's going to be the start of your breakthrough. You got some stuff in your home, you need to prophecy. Throw them away. I'm giving you instructions right now. Don't come tell me, Pastor, I need prayer, but I'm going to ask you, did you listen to this message?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you your history. What did some of your generation in the past do that you continued to keep mocking them and watching them and thought it was fine? Get rid of those idols.
Okay.
Amen. God bless you. Let us get time for a moment here, for a moment, for a second. We're going to get ready to go into our announcements. But I'm really serious. I want you to go through your home. I want you to really go through.